through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Morning, Tim. How are you today?
Kia ora. I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. We're having a nice morning up here. What's happening in the world of media? I think I know where we might be going today.
Do you? I want you to lead this one, right? Go on. What are we talking about?
Tell me about the social medias. What's going on in the social medias at the moment, Tim?
The big ticket item is that Elon Musk has bought Twitter.
Boo.
Outright.
Booers.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's very easy to have a natural reaction to this, which is, that's disgusting, I need to take a shower. But it's interesting, I've been trying to absorb as many angles on this as possible, and what I've come away with is that no one truly knows what this is going to mean for the platform. So Twitter, up until this point, has been a publicly traded company. If you're unfamiliar with that means it's a company that was you could buy the stock on the stock exchange, and there's a whole lot of rules and regulation that comes with that ability to raise capital through shareholders. And one of the main ones is that you're bound by certain fiduciary responsibilities to like pursue money above basically all other considerations when you're on the board or you're acting as the CEO of those companies. And when you buy a company privately, you're not restricted by those sorts of decision-making priorities. So I should have the figure in front of me. From memory, I think it was $44 billion US dollars.
$44 billion is correct.
Yeah, that he bought it for. And he's like, Elon has said out loud a few things that he wants to do to change the platform.
Is it going to be like Tesla, where he puts like a fart noise in the car and you're like, oh God, this is the man with all the money?
Elon.
Grow up, Elon.
He did put a fart noise in the car, but he also created the car. So, you know, you got to take the rough with the smooth sometimes. There's a lot of people that are kind of freaking out that he's going to bring Trump back onto the platform, and a whole lot of people who have been banned. The simple answer is we just don't know from that perspective what his plans are. He has voiced some plans on how he wants to improve the platform in his own mind, which includes, and this is a quote from him, authenticating all humans, which is a very robot-y thing to say. But basically, he has mentioned time and time again his desire to try and get bots off of the platform, which sort of distort the perspective of what the main narrative is happening online, and it can sort of erode people's trust in the platform itself. When it's able to be manipulated with lots of bots, which is currently the case.
Yeah.
And, you know, Elon Musk at his heart is an engineer, so he might be the right person to do that. There's really interesting complications about this deal that are going to come up. For example, China is kind of a big one. Elon Musk is the richest man in the world, I think, right now. He sort of trades blows a lot with Jeff Bezos and some of the other guys, depending on how their companies are doing at any given point. But he's got a lot of business concerns, basically, in China. China has quite a different view of free speech and what people are able to say about their government than other developed countries around the world. And so there's a big question about if China can sort of hold Elon over a barrel to get information that Twitter may hold about certain people, people of their citizens. So, yeah. Unfortunately, like all things, it will be a bit of a wait and see, but it's huge news, and
it's huge
pretty
news.
Weird,
it's
and
also,
not a lot of people thought it would happen.
No, and also, can we just stop for a second and say, $44 billion, I can't actually conceive of that in my brain. Like, it's got into silly money territory so quickly that I don't even have a concept for that. Like, you know, how much is it that the United Nations reckoned it would take, like $6 billion or something,
billion, I think
to
it
end
was.
World hunger or something like that? What is going on with this man's priorities? Like that there's a lot to be done here to unpack it. But like $44 billion bucks is even for Elon Musk a lot of money. So how badly do you want the Bird app? You know,
it's insane, really.
It's supervillain stuff is what it is, Tim. It's supervillain stuff.
Potentially. I guess we're about to find out. But the other kind of compounding factor about that is Twitter does not make money. It has never made money.
No.
It has always struggled to find a way to monetize. It has this huge social and cultural cachet. But in terms of a financial instrument, you know, like a good business, it just isn't. So this doesn't seem to be a decision led by getting more money. It's
Feels like the opening sequence to the Incredibles sequel or something. Supervillain origin story. That is cooked. What else is happening in the media at the moment?
Well, I just wanted to give a couple updates on some older stories, and then I'll end with a bit of a sort of more local update. So CNN Plus, I was talking a couple of weeks ago about how apps are hard,
yes.
And that CNN Plus had launched its subscription-only premium service to terrible reviews and incredibly low numbers. They had less than 10,000 paid subscribers after 2 weeks of launch.
Cringe.
They were hoping to get millions of people within the first 12 months signed on to the platform. They invested a whole lot of money, and some people had even jumped ship from very long storied careers at other news organizations to get on board with CNN Plus. Well, it turns out they're going to shut it down less than a month after they launched it. That's how badly it performed. Just goes to show stuff online is hard. And some of these legacy news organizations, even CNN, which isn't, I don't know, in my head sort of seen as like a big dusty crotchety one, they frequently get stuff like this wrong when it comes to online and tech and new media ventures. That's going to sting for a long time, I think.
It certainly will. What is happening locally, though? What's going on in Aotearoa?
We've got a couple of things going on. So, again, while we're on the update front, I mentioned a story a couple of weeks ago that I was kind of interested in because there's been such a lack of coverage in, and it's about the News Publishers Association, which is an organisation made up of Newstalk ZB's parent company, which also owns the Herald, NZME, and Stuff, and the Spinoff, and a few others. They teamed up together so that they could collectively bargain against Facebook and Google, who over the last, you know, 10 plus years have sort of destroyed their revenue stream. So they want to, after Australia has, in the wake of them passing this media code, which is codified into law about how they have to sort of deal and buy content off of news organisations, the New Zealand news organisations looked at this and said, man, we got to do something. So they asked the Commerce Commission if they could team up as this organisation and collectively bargain with Google and Facebook. One day after the Commerce Commission gave their approval for that organisation to bargain as a collective, NZME announced that they had just finalised their own individual deal with Facebook's parent company Meta, and that Google was next on the block. So they basically undercut the whole thing that they were a part of to do their own individual deal. The chair of that organisation is Michael Bogues, who is the CEO of NZME. And earlier this week on RNZ, Colin Peacock, who is the presenter of Media Watch, this is the first I've seen anyone get to sort of ask him about this, and we've got the audio.
Let's have a listen.
Well, that was something the rest of the media, along with yourselves, wanted to negotiate with the two companies. You've gone your own way, cutting your own deals. Is that a bit awkward for you? You are the current chair of the News Publishers Association, which was promoting that collective effort. Now you've pulled out of that to pursue a kind of NZME first kind of solution. Is that a bit awkward?
Well, we certainly have been clear from when we first talked about this late last year that we would continue to engage one-on-one with those platforms. So it's not been something that's been done secretly. But at the same time, I've been very clear that now that we have concluded our arrangements, that I'll be stepping out of any discussions as part of the NPA and making sure that they're well supported without NZME's involvement.
So what does that mean? What's the takeaway from that one, Tim?
Well, if it's true, and I guess we have to assume that it is, what Mr. Bogues is saying there is that the collective has known all along that NZME was trying to form its own individual deals while he was chairing this collective that was trying to collectively bargain against these big companies. That is an insane thing for everyone to sign off on.
Yeah, sounds good.
if it was a situation where it was like, hey, we recognize that individually we're not powerful enough to go up against these tech conglomerates, so we need to band together.
Yeah.
However, if it's convenient for any one of us to undercut that at any time, they're welcome to do so. What's the freaking point? What is the point of collectively bargaining? It's just like, it seems so crazy to me, and it is scabby behaviour at like a corporate level. Like true, you know, union scabby behaviour.
Yeah,
it is. It just seems crazy to me. And I, again, like I said this last time, but I would have expected a little bit of coverage from this spin-off.
Yeah.
Because despite the fact that most people don't give a shit about this kind of stuff, and rightly so, this is very, you know, niche content that's going on. But Duncan Greaves is really interested in this stuff, and it has been kind of a notable silence I've found from him not writing anything on this. The spin-off obviously is part of this organisation. Duncan, I'm sure, is super instrumental in these conversations that are going on, so I wouldn't be surprised to see if he became the chair. But it's just an interesting one that I don't think's had enough coverage, and I think
NZME, yeah,
it's grubby. But it also, going back to the Twitter thing, it sort of speaks to how publicly traded companies have to act, and often have to make these scummy situations to pursue money at all costs.
It's a doggy dog world.
It sure is. One other final little update, bit of a rosier one. TVNZ's got a new John Campbell for breakfast now.
Cloned him, or
they haven't cloned him. They've gotten a guy called Carmel Santa Maria, who has been working in the Middle East for 15 years. He's a Kiwi who's been away for, you know, a decade and a half, working at Al Jazeera, where he's been doing very serious news reporting. Very respected journalist. He has just started, I think, 2 days ago at breakfast. I haven't seen tons of him, but I've seen a little bit, and it's going to be really interesting watching him kind of find his footing on. That TVNZ breakfast slot is so interesting because they do hard news to an extent. They do really good hard interviews with politicians in particular, have to hold them to account, which I think will be his forte. But then they also do so much like light content. So it's always fun watching people trying to find their feet in that balance, which I'm sure will be a bit awkward for a bit.
It's a tricky dance, but it will be interesting to see. Thank you very much, Tim. That's a good broad roundup of what's going on out there. Have a lovely week, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM. This is-